بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم، وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. حديث number 29 is a really comprehensive hadith. We'd mentioned last class that we're going to do hadith 29 and 30, but hadith 29 takes its time and we'll give it the time it needs بإذن الله تعالى. And in this hadith, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked the Prophet ﷺ about the ways of good. And he asked him about the ways of good, very disturbed and concerned regarding this good. And very concerned and disturbed about the ways of good. And we look at the background when we look at the explanation. But in the narration here, عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه, it's related by معاذ بن جبل that he said, قلت يا رسول الله, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة, tell me about some actions that will make me enter paradise, ويباعدني من النار, and will distance me from the fire. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم, you have truly asked about something tremendous. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, but it is indeed easy for one whom Allah makes it easy for. And he mentioned the central pillars after that. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, you worship Allah and don't associate any partners with Him. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and you establish the prayer. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ, and you give your zakat. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَان, fast Ramadan. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ, and perform Hajj to the house of Allah. Okay, so this is the first step. Right? Inform me of actions that will make me enter in paradise. It's something tremendous, but easy for one whom Allah makes it easy for. First he mentions, fulfill your obligations. Then he said, ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير, should I not tell you about the doors of good? And it's أبواب, right? There's many doors. الصوم جنة, fasting is a shield. والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار, and charity extinguishes error like water extinguishes fire. وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل, and a person's prayer in the depths of the night. And this is an exclamation. The Prophet ﷺ didn't really complete the sentence. It's ta'ajjub. And a person's prayer in the depths of the night, was salatu rajul fi jawfil layl. If this was a sentence being stated just as a statement, you're waiting for the completion of the sentence. And because fasting is a shield. Charity extinguishes error. A person's prayer in the depths of the night, what about it? It's a type of ta'ajjub. He didn't mention the completion of the sentence, as it were. Why? It's amazement. Like how great it is. ثُمَّ تَلَى تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Then he recited the verses on those devoted to Allah. Their sides leave their resting places at night in worship until he reached جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, for the actions that they used to perform, that no soul knows what is stored for it of reward with Allah for the actions that they used to do. Right? And it's talking specifically about night worship. So this is the second step. So the first step is mentioned, fulfill your obligations. What's the second step? Perform virtuous deeds. Right? Perform virtuous deeds. And then the Prophet ﷺ shared some keys ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ Should I not inform you of the pinnacle of this matter and its support and its peak? Because basically, what is the way of guidance? The way of guidance has two steps. And we looked at this, if you all recall, and hopefully you're reviewing it, when we covered the beginning of guidance. When we began the 40 Nawawi, we began with the beginning of guidance as well. Imam Ghazali says there's two steps to guidance. What are the two steps of guidance? Yes. And please, if people can log in with their first and last names, inshallah, just as a matter of policy, we don't. You know, you may be the light of Mustafa, but you, please, if you can use your real name, just an adab of a class, inshallah. And Sidi Abdul Latif will just share how you can change your name. So there's two steps of guidance. There's two steps of guidance. There's a first step and a second step. And for one, Imam al-Ghazali talks about guidance has two steps. The first step of guidance is yeah, I mean, he describes guidance from, you know, he begins by mentioning the routines, etc. But he later he talked about the guidance has two steps. The first is fulfilling your obligations and leaving prohibitions. Okay. The second step is doing what is recommended, doing the nawafil, doing the supererogatory works. And he mentions that those are the two steps of guidance, and he quotes the hadith of wilaya, of electhood. And you see this here again, the Prophet ﷺ, when he's asked about how do I get to paradise, the first step is fulfill your obligation. Second step is do the virtuous deeds. Do your virtuous deeds. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he mentioned the virtuous deeds, and there's numerous virtuous deeds, but he pointed to certain key ones, and we look at why those were mentioned. And he mentioned the night prayer with particular emphasis. But then if you've called someone to the good, then part of nasiha is you should give them the keys to be able to do it. And that's a part of being a guide or even being a leader. You want people to do something, you show them the way, but then you give them the keys to be able to pursue that way. Okay. So you say, well, this is where you should go. But then how will you get there? But then what are critical success factors? How do you, and this is part of what the Prophet ﷺ said, yassiru, make things easy. But yassiru does not mean, as some people misinterpret it, that just water things down. Yassiru is facilitate the means to guidance. So he asked, should I not inform you? أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. Should I not tell you of the pinnacle of this matter? وَعَمُودِهِ. And its support, its pillar, and its peak. وَذُرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ. قُلْتُ بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I said, indeed, O Messenger of Allah. And if you're learning Arabic, one of the things you should always be careful about is to know when to say na'am and when to say la. Because when something is mentioned in the negative, should I not? And you say na'am, it would mean, yes, don't tell me. Okay? Because it says, should I not tell you? Ala ukhbiruka. Should I not tell you? So if to that someone would say, Naam, yes, the meaning in Arabic at least would be, yes, don't tell me. So when something is asked in the negative, the response to it would be, Bala, meaning indeed. Indeed, do tell. And one should put that on one's list, on one's learning list, to learn how to use Naam and Bala. Bala, Ya Rasulullah, indeed. Tell me, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, رأس الأمر الإسلام. The pinnacle of this matter is submission. وعموده الصلاة. And its pillar, right, its support, is prayer. وذروة سنامه الجهاد. And its peak is jihad. So these are critical things. And we'll look at their explanation. ثم قال, then he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله. Should I not tell you of what all this depends upon? قلت بلى. I said, indeed, O Messenger of Allah. بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he took his noble tongue in his hand. He held his tongue and said, and for there's something unstated here, which is he took his tongue, let go, and said. And one here, the ulama do something that may sound pedantic, but rigorous thinking entails this. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ. Then he took his tongue. What are the possibilities? He took, who is he referring to? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took his tongue. But he, you have to think it through. Who? He. It's, that's the obvious one. There's no two opinions about that. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ. Took his tongue. Whose tongue is it referring to? What are the possibilities here? Two possibilities. It could be his own tongue or Sayyidina Mu'adh's tongue. But the likely possibility is that it is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own tongue. That's the how it's understood. But in terms of rigorous thinking, one should think through reasonable possibilities. Right? You shouldn't jump to assumptions. That's one of the obvious ways that you could make a mistake. You know, you could make mistakes in thinking. Right? You could say, and sometimes people frame things in certain ways. He said he went to his in-laws' house, and then he died. The two things are together, but did he die in his in-laws' house because of his in-laws' house? No, the two things are just mentioned together. Right? So you have to not fall into these. Yes, you should take deliberate steps in your thinking, not just jump to conclusions. You think through the possibilities, even if it seems obvious, to make sure you understood it correctly and you confirm. Especially when meanings are subtle. So he took his tongue and said. Now here, what's the possibility? He took his tongue and then he said. The possibility is that, did he say this while holding his tongue? Possibility A. Number two, he let go. So here there's something unstated in the text, which is, and then he let go of his tongue. And that's implicit in the text. He let go of his tongue and said, "Kuffa alayka hadha." Restrain this. Kaf is restrain. Hold back your hand. Like you hold back from it. The kaf is also the hand. But kaffa an shay means to hold back from it. Kuffa alayka hadha. Restrain this. Qultu ya Nabi Allah, wa inna la mu'akhadhuna bima natakallamu bih. O Prophet of Allah. So throughout he's been addressing the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rasulullah. Why did he change to O Prophet of Allah? One, because the two are interchangeable, but also this signifies his amazement. And one of the ways you signify amazement is that you change the address. So he goes, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, and he's teaching him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said something that, what does all the good depend upon? How do I get to paradise? What do you do first? Then what do you do? What are the keys to that? All of that, what does all of that depend upon? One thing, said, restrain this. All that depends on this? Ya Nabi Allah. And this is part of one way of amazement. So if you're addressing someone in Arabic, you say, you're talking to them in first person. You call him Khalid, this and that. And Khalid's name, his kunya is Abu Mustafa. Ya Abu Mustafa. Haqqan? Right? Oh, Abu Mustafa, truly? Before you're calling him Khalid, but when you're amazed, you may change the way of address. Are we taken to account for what we, for the words we speak? And he said, ثَقِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. And one narration, ثَقِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. May your mother be bereaved of you. And this is not a literal statement. It is not a literal statement. This is a figurative expression. Right? And it can be used in two ways. It can be used either as dua for the person or against the person. It can be used in a few ways. Right? It can be used as dua for the person or against the person. Right? Or it can be used for ta'ajjub, for amazement. It's a bit like the prophetic expression that, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the criteria for marriage, because you could marry for all kinds of reasons. We get along, we're compatible. No, the Prophet ﷺ gave, you know, the choose on the basis of deen, and he said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكَ. May your hands be filled with dust. That has, there's many meanings to it, but there's three core meanings. تَرِبَتْ يَدَكَ, it's dua for the person or against the person, or it's ta'ajjub. And a fourth meaning, they say, it's warning. Okay? So dua for the person, and here it's understood that the Prophet ﷺ is either making dua for the person, تَخِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, meaning may your mother not be bereaved of you. Or it's amazement, which simply means don't you get it. And it could actually be translated idiomatically as that. تَخِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, don't you get it. Right? Because it's not, the literal is not meant. See, the dua for, or in some context is against, but certainly not in the usage of the Prophet ﷺ, or it's amazement. And sometimes, like in the hadith, may your hands be filled with dust, there's a fourth meaning, which is ta'ajjub. Of ta'ajjub. وَهَلْ يُكَبُّ النَّاسُ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Are people dragged by their faces, or he said by their foreheads, except for the harvest of their tongue? Hasa'id, hasad is what you reap of your crop, right? Why? Because of one's actions, the greatest dimension of one's actions is what one says of the good, and the greatest harm is what one says of the bad, and particularly negative speech is of the greatest of sins, as we will see. And this hadith is related by Tirmidhi, who said, hadithun hasanun sahih, that this is a sound and rigorously authentic hadith. So there's many lessons here. We'll touch upon some of them. Firstly, the narrator, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? Regarding Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, much can be mentioned, but Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal was from the Ansar, from the tribe of Al-Khazraj. The Ansar, the people of Medina, and his kunya was Abu Abdul Rahman. And he's considered one of the ulama of the Sahaba, one of the most learned of the companions. And he was one of the senior companions, so many of the companions narrated from him. Amongst them, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took many hadiths from Sayyidina Mu'adh. Ibn Ishaq in his seerah mentions that Mu'adh ibn Jabal became Muslim at the age of 18. And he witnessed all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the distinction of being one of those companions who not only was there at Badr, with the 314 at Badr, but he was there at all the major battles. The battles during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are divided into two types. There are those that were expeditions sent out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are those in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated. What's the name for the expeditions, the military expeditions sent forth by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The expedition sent out by the Prophet ﷺ, in which he did not participate. It's called Asariya. Okay, Asariya. Which you can translate as an expedition. You know, expedition. This is sent out by the Prophet ﷺ. He did not participate in. And then there's those that he was part of. What is that called? That's the ghazwa, and the plural of it is ghazawat, as mentioned. And Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal witnessed the pledge of Al-Aqaba, right? When notables from both of the tribes that made up the city of Yathrib, which then became Medina al-Munawwara, went to the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, and they pledged their allegiance to him. And there are multiple pledges in successive years at Aqaba. And he was present there, as mentioned by Ibn Abdul Barr. And the Prophet ﷺ expressed both the praise and the love of Sayyidina Mu'adh in many hadiths. Amongst them, the hadith in Sahih, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, where the beloved Messenger ﷺ said, وَأَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذِ بْنُ جَبَلٍ. And the most learned of them. He mentioned virtues of different companions. وَأَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذِ بْنُ جَبَلٍ. And the most learned of them with respect to the permissible and the impermissible is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. This is one of the manaqib, one of the virtuous distinctive traits of Sayyidina Mu'adh. He had deep knowledge of the halal and the haram. And in both Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, استقرئ القرآن من أربعة. Learn the Quran, learn the reading of the Quran from four. And he mentioned amongst them Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And of course, something like this, the ulama deliberately won't mention all four. They'll mention the hadith, and they mention amongst them was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Why? Because the duty of the seeker is to seek. You find something like this, you say, okay, let me go find the hadith. And Sayyidina Anas mentioned that during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was four companions who gathered the entire Quran. And of course, that doesn't mean that only four gathered it. I mean, that four gathered it and were known for its gathering and were taken as reference points in its gathering. And amongst them was Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And in the famous hadith, the hadith al-musalsal bil-mahabba, the hadith contiguously transmitted by love, which is related by Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, and it's a sahih hadith, The beloved Messenger ﷺ said, Wallahi ya Mu'adh inni la uhibbuka. By Allah, O Mu'adh, I indeed truly love you. And we've talked about this hadith before, and we have a lesson explaining it on Seeker. Someone could perhaps share that. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that inna Mu'adhan kana ummatan qanitan lillah hanifa walam yaku min al-mushrikeen. Paraphrasing a verse of the Quran about Sayyidina Ibrahim, he said truly Mu'adh was an ummah unto himself. Inna Mu'adhan kana ummatan, Mu'adh truly was an ummah qanitan lillah, truly devoted to Allah, hanifan, completely upright, and was not of the polytheists, not of those who associated partners with Allah. This, of course, you know, just it's a negation of the greater association, which is a shirk al-jali. It's also a negation of the lesser shirk, a shirk al-khafi, that he was purely, his tawheed was pure, it was sincere. There was no ulterior motives in Sayyidina Mu'adh. And then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Inna kunna nushabbihu Mu'adhan bi Ibrahim." We used to compare Mu'adh to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is, you know, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioning this. And for those who want to keep track, that's mentioned by Abu Nu'aym in his Hilyatul Awliya, his great work of the biographies of the elect of the Ummah. So this is a little about the narrator, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He died in a plague, right? It's called Ta'un Amawas, right? And it's a place in northern Jordan, now not far from Jerusalem, like, you know, in the year 18 after the Hijrah. And he passed away with his son as well, and a number of notable Sahaba passed away in the Jordan Valley at that time, and his grave is well known. Sayyidina Shurahbil isn't far from there as well. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah is just further down, because there's a plague. So the Sahaba were in that area at that time, and he passed away there. So dying in a plague, for example, some other calamity is one type of martyrdom. So someone dies, for example, if a plane crashes, for example, you know, one feels a sense of loss, but one also knows with the certitude of faith that such a person dies a martyr. So they didn't lose out. Right? They didn't lose out. One leaves the matter to, you know, one wishes life for them, but if they died, they didn't lose out. So this is about the narrator. The question itself, right? O Messenger of Allah, inform me of some action that will enter me in paradise and distance me from fire. There's a context to this question. This hadith is briefer. In the narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Sayyidina Mu'adh relates that I said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to ask you about something. إني أريد أن أسألك عن كلمة أمرضتني وأسقمتني وأحزنتني. I want to ask you about, literally about a word, or about, you know, but here كلمة means about a matter that قد أمرضتني, has made me sick, وأسقمتني, and has made me سقيم, has ailed me, وأحزنتني, and has made me sorrow. I want to ask you about something that has made me sick and ailed and sorrowful. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Sal amma shi'at," ask whatever you wish. Qala Sayyidina Mu'adh said, ask me about, you know, tell me about actions that will make you enter into paradise. And this tells you about his intense concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now someone could ask, why is he asking, like, why is his focus on the actions? And the reason is, because the means are important. Right? the end is the point, but without means, ends aren't reached. As Ibn Ata'illah said, وَلَا يَسْتَحْقِرُ الْوِرْدَ إِلَّا جَهُولٌ. No one deems the wird, the spiritual means, to be insignificant except an ignoramus. No one deems the spiritual means to be insignificant except an ignoramus. So he's worried, how do I get to Allah? And my internal standing with him in paradise. And that concern, what did it do? It made him sick. أمرضتني وأسقمتني سقم, which is in a state of ailment. وأحزنتني, and has made me deeply sorrowful. And he was consumed by this concern. What will make me enter paradise? You know, to be with Allah in eternity. And will distance me from fire. From the fire. And it, of course, this tells you about the importance of actions. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 72, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أَوْرَثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That is the paradise that you inherited by what you did. And the ba here, there's two types of ba related to actions. There's a ba that's affirmed and a ba that's negated. There's the ba of means and the ba of causality. The ba of means is affirmed. That's a paradise that you have inherited by your actions. The ba here is the ba of means. And we affirm the means. But there's also the ba of causality, which is denied. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ بِعَمَلِهِ. And there's a few narrations of that. None of you shall enter paradise by your actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you entered paradise, you inherited paradise by your actions. That by is by the means of your actions. But none of you will enter paradise by your actions, meaning as a cause of your actions. The actions are a means that you take, but the giver, the cause, the grantor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the relation? So this was the question. And the question was very eloquent. Both the first part, which is the part that we mentioned from the narration of Imam Ahmad. It is very eloquent. So Sayyidina Mu'adh had this deep burning question. I wanted to ask you about something that has made me sick and ailed and sorrowed. And in Arabic, it's very powerful. أمرضتني وأسقمتني وأحزنتني. And even the second part of the question, which is mentioned in the narration we have here, is very powerful. So it's very eloquent. But that tells you one of the adab of asking a question. The question should be carefully considered. And what are you asking about? The right thing, in the right way, at the right time, and asking the right person, right, in the right context. So he considered, it wasn't just a question off the top of his head. Sometimes someone asks a question and you don't know what the question is. Or they ask, like in the middle of a class, they want an explanation of a secondary matter. That's not, you know, what the class is about. So here, it's a beautiful, so that's why the Prophet ﷺ praised it when he said, لَكَدْ قَدْسَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You've asked about something tremendous. One aspect of the response of the Prophet ﷺ is that this is a tremendous question. He's praising the question in its form and in its meaning. But then we also look here at the issue of actions and paradise. Some action that will enter me into paradise. That your actions are a means. The giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the relationship between actions and works. As Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Shaghuri put it so beautifully, he said that الأخذ بالأسباب لازم والنفي التأثير عنها لازم. Taking the means is necessary, and negating their efficacy is necessary. فمن ترك الأسباب فقد عطل الحكمة الإلهية. For one who leaves the means is denying divine wisdom. Because this is how Allah, this is the sunnah of Allah. This is the world He's created us in. من عمل فلنفسه. Whoever acts, it's for themselves. There's a relationship between what you do and what you get. But your actions are an adab with Allah. Right? They're not a right, a demand, nor are they in of themselves efficacious. Okay. So taking the means is necessary, and denying their efficacy is necessary. For whoever leaves taking means is denying divine wisdom. But whoever depends on the means is associating partners with Allah, because the giver is Allah. Who gifted you the action itself? The action itself is a gift from Allah. It's not like you did the action and Allah is giving you the gift of the result. Your life itself is a gift. Your actions are a gift. The inspiration, the sincerity, all of it. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and there's no more to it than this. Say it is all from Allah. So your actions are an adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The giver absolutely is Allah. But the giving has a means. Right? The giving is that which is given through the beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. I am the one who distributes. I am the distributor. He's the sole distributor of divine grace. وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. And Allah is the giver of everything. So this relationship between actions and work. Right? And we saw the reconciliation between that and the Prophet ﷺ said, none of you will enter paradise by their works. Meaning by, it's not the works that cause you to enter paradise. The works are necessary means, and they're an adab of slavehood with the divine. The giver is Allah. But He has chosen to give you through your actions, and not because of your actions. You have no right of demand upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we took in the hadith of justice. Any questions here? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, pointed to this meaning in his response. The beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You've asked about something tremendous that is easy for whomever Allah makes it easy for. Meaning that you take the means, but the facilitator is Allah. So you've asked about something tremendous at two levels. One, the question itself is a tremendous question. The question, Sayyidina Mu'adh's question, you could learn the adab of the Talib Ilm from Sayyidina Mu'adh's question. Because he was a consummate Talib Ilm. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardaah. And the question was tremendous. The concern underlying it. Right? In Urdu, and it's actually one of the meanings of talab in Arabic, in Urdu, talab means intense longing. Right? So the ulama, because they say eating paan is sunnatul ulama. Right? Eating paan is a sunnah of the ulama of India in Pakistan. Right? It's not a sunnah of the Prophet. Right? They say, someone says, mujhe paan ka talab hai. I have an intense, I intensely need paan. Right? Talab. Talab is an intense need for something. And because you have an intense need, that you seek. Right? So he sought guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what underlies the seeking of guidance? It is intensity of need. It is intensity of need, which is why Maulana Rumi said, stop searching for water and acquire true thirst, and then you'll find water all around you. So very often, if someone's thinking, I'd like to study Islam more. That's good, but before you decide, I want to seek, ask yourself, what is my need for that? Because it's when the need is clear, then the means become manifest. And the means then have meaning. And you will pursue them with purpose and passion and resolve. So the Prophet ﷺ's response was that you have asked about something tremendous. What you're asking about and how you've asked about it is tremendous. And the Prophet ﷺ could see the intensity of his concern. He expressed it. This has made me sick and ill and in ailment and has filled me with sorrow. And this is the sorrow of longing. Is the sorrow of longing. For those of you who are interested, if you look, and there's a wonderful chapter in the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi on the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the commentators mentioned there's 8 causes for crying. Some of them which are mentioned explicitly, understood clearly from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that chapter, there's 6 hadiths, and others deduced from, you know, from language and other means. And similarly, the sorrow of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Which is sorrow and crying are have a connection. This sorrow of Sayyidina Mu'adh, or the sorrow of intense yearning and longing and awe. So the Prophet validated that statement. But it is easy for whomever Allah makes it easy for. Right? This trust me, the facilitator is Allah. So one should be thankful to Allah for the good thought and the good inspiration and the good inclination and the good resolve and the good intention, let alone the good action and the continuity of that action and the growth. Right? There's so many stages in one's actions, each stage of which requires thankfulness. But the relationship between means, right, and divine facilitation is affirmed. And this is a normative relationship. Right? This is a normative relationship. Allah could give without means. Allah could give without means. But the sunnah of Allah is that He gives by the through the means, but not because of the means. But, you know, and a set of verses that talk about this very powerfully is in Surah Al-Layl, verses 5-10. And I would encourage you to reflect on these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. As for the one who gives and is mindful and affirms as true the husna, the great good, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ, we will facilitate for them to the great ease, the eternal ease. Right? But they strived. They strived, and Allah granted by that striving, but not because of it. It's a favor from Allah. And the opposite is also true. أَمَّا وَمَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, as for the one who is miserly and felt no need, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and denied the great good, فَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, we'll facilitate for them the distress, referring to hell. And this is from Surah Al-Layl, verses 5-10. And this, of course, this is the balance that Allah has commanded us, that we must accept whether we understand it or not. The Prophet ﷺ said, when asked about destiny and action, he said, اعملوا, act. فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, for everyone will be facilitated towards what they were created for. Because your action has a relationship to what Allah destined for you ultimately. And how that works, we've touched upon it in previous sessions, but okay. So the people of felicity, we facilitated for felicity. Their choices manifest what Allah knew for them in eternity. Okay. And in that light of knowing that relationship between your striving and Allah's facilitation, there's a beautiful supplication of the beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one of his frequent du'as sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a brief yet comprehensive du'a, that, you know, Allahumma ihdini wa yassir al-huda li, O Allah, guide me and facilitate guidance for me. Allahumma ihdini wa yassir al-huda li, O Allah, guide me and facilitate guidance for me. Because guidance refers to being on the path to the desired destination. You're being on the path to Allah. That is from Allah. And then the pursuing of that path is also a gift from Allah. وَيَسِّرِ الْهُدَى لِي, and facilitate guidance for me. Meaning at all its levels. At all its levels. And that's a beautiful prophetic supplication that one should strive to bring into one's practice. So we have a couple of questions. We look at them and then continue. If understood, we can influence the amount of rahmah that Allah gives us by our actions? No. One of the adab of knowledge is, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah have mercy on one who hears my words and understands them completely and then conveys them as they heard them. So influencing the amount of mercy, you do not influence Allah. Allah influences you. You're the abd and he's the rabb. Right? So saying influence the amount of rahmah would entail affirming absurdities, because Allah exists beyond limits. Right? Allah is beyond limits. Allah's mercy is eternal. Right? So we don't say that. But there's a relationship between our actions and what we attain of divine mercy. We affirm that. Right? Right? Is it wrong to completely forget about paradise and hell in one's worship? There's levels of sincerity. You know, the highest of sincerity is act solely for the sake of Allah and not for any ulterior motive. Mid-level sincerity is to act seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third level is to act seeking worldly gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All are from sincerity. Even seeking something worldly for the sake of Allah is, for example, you recited Surah Al-Waqi'ah seeking that Allah grant you a job. That's also sincerity, but it's lower level sincerity. But the highest sincerity, which is you act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, we only feed you for the sake of Allah. That does, the adab in that is that you don't say, I'm forgetting about paradise, I don't care about paradise. No, it's a gift from Allah. When the great gives you a gift, you are respectful and appreciative of the gift. But the true servant acts for the sake of the king, not because of the gift. But the adab with the king is that when he has promised you a gift, you are appreciative and grateful for the gift as you are appreciative of worldly matters too. Is there breaking sound? Okay. Allahumma ihdini wa yassir ihdini wa yassir al-huda li. Ihdini wa yassir al-huda li. And can you guys see the window on the screen? Ihdini wa yassir al-huda li. Guide me and facilitate guidance for me. Okay. Then we have the questions themselves. And then we have the Prophet ﷺ's outlining the various steps. So we look at those next, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.